Our Old Testament reading this morning, if you'd like to join along in your pew Bible or in your own Bible, is from Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in whom we find our highest joy, our greatest delight, and our everlasting peace, pour out again upon us your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, your life-giving Spirit, the breath of understanding, the fiery tongue of holiness, that hearing your word we might not forget, that you seal it upon our hearts, that your word glow within us, filling us, directing us, and transforming us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Zechariah 9, beginning with verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew 21, the first 11 verses. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Thanks be to God.
Passover was at hand. The feast celebrating God's miraculous deliverance of his people from chains, from oppression, from slavery, from Pharaoh, from Egypt was near. Passover was at hand. And Jerusalem was bursting at the seams. Jews from near and Jews from far traveled to the city. Probably hundreds of thousands stayed in the city to keep the feast, to celebrate, to remember. And Matthew tells us in verse 10 of our passage that the whole city was stirred up. Now, the Greek word used here is literally translated quaked. The city quaked. Jerusalem quaked, and it quaked with excitement, and it quaked with a question. And the question, again, is found in verse 10, is this. The city asked, who is this? Who is this? Who is this who has just arrived? Who is this that the crowds have welcomed as a son of David? Who is this that has the whole city stirred up? Of course, it was Jesus. Jesus had come. Jesus from Nazareth. Jesus from Galilee. And Jerusalem quaked. Now, by this point, almost everybody had heard about Jesus. They had heard about his teachings. They had heard about his miracles, that he had changed water into wine, that he had healed the sick, that he made the lame to walk again, that he caused the blind to see, that he even walked on water. By now, most of them in Jerusalem had heard that Jesus even raised the dead. Now, as word spread, as news circulated that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, a great crowd went out to meet him. A great crowd went out to receive him. And Matthew tells us that to welcome Jesus, this crowd performs two acts, two. The first thing that Matthew tells us is that they spread their cloaks on the ground. Now, more than simply a red carpet kind of welcome, although it could be taken as that, spreading their outer garment on the road before Jesus was a symbol. It was a sign taken directly from their history, the history of God's people. Almost 800 years before Jesus, Jehu was announced as king of Israel, and he was announced king of Israel in defiance of the existing king. And as a sign of loyalty, his followers spread their cloaks before him as he rode toward Jerusalem. This crowd lay their cloaks before Jesus. Now, secondly, they took branches from palm trees, which were plentiful in Jerusalem. They took branches of palms to shake and to wave and to also carpet the road before Jesus. The palm branch was a symbol. It was a national symbol. It was a patriotic symbol. And here's why. 200 years before Jesus, Jews were under the oppressive reign of Syria, the nation of Syria. The Syrians had defiled God's temple. They demanded that Jews worship idols rather than the living God. And one family, the Maccabee family, they led a resistance to the Syrians. And eventually, and miraculously, Jews overthrew the more powerful Syrian army. And as Simon Maccabee, head of this Maccabean family who led the resistance, as he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, great crowds celebrating this victory welcomed him by waving palm branches. As they cleansed the temple and rededicated the temple to the Lord, great crowds gathered outside of it and waved palm branches. The symbol took hold and the symbol endured for a time. So a great crowd welcomes Jesus to Jerusalem with cloaks on the road and palm branches. And this is what they cry out. This is what they shout. Look at verse 9 of our passage again. They shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now this is an almost word-for-word quote from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 was our call to worship this morning. This Psalm 118, was sung and prayed at Passover by God's people. Hosanna, as I just talked with the kids about, is Hebrew for save us. Save us now. Hosanna to the Son of David. Save us now, Son of David. They called Jesus the Son of David. If you remember, David was king, king of Israel, king 1,000 years before Jesus. And God promised that the king of Israel would always be a son of David, a descendant of David, that the Messiah would be a son of David. So here's the picture again. This Passover celebrating, cloak spreading, palm waving crowd believed that they were welcoming the Messiah. They believed that they were welcoming the Christ, the God-promised King, a son of David who could save them, who could save them now. They recognized their need for salvation. They wanted to be saved. They wanted to be delivered from their enemies, namely the Romans. The Romans. They wanted Jesus to save them from the Romans. Rome had occupied the land of Israel for decades. They kept a military presence to maintain order, and by and large, God's people resented them. They resented their presence, they resented their authority, they resented their rule, and they wanted their freedom. They wanted deliverance. They wanted salvation, and they wanted it now. So as they were preparing to celebrate God's salvation from the Egyptians, as they waved palm branches that brought to mind salvation from Syria, they laid down their cloaks in defiance of Rome and welcomed Jesus as the king, crying out, "Hosanna! Save us! Save us now. Save us from our enemies now. Save us from the Romans now. Overthrow our enemies now. Bring us victory now. Make us free now." The whole city was stirred up. Jerusalem quaked. But Jesus' mode of entrance offers a sharp contrast to the expectations. It offers a sharp contrast to the desires, to the quaking. Jesus comes on a donkey. Jesus arrives on a donkey. Not a horse, on a donkey, not a steed fit for battle, on a donkey, not a mount fit for a king or a conquering hero, but a donkey. Now, if Jesus had come on a horse, if he had paraded to Jerusalem on a horse, the message would have been clear. This crowd would have followed him to battle. They would have followed him to war. They would have followed him to death. But instead, Jesus comes on a donkey, lowly, humble, servile. In the midst of waving palm branches, spread out clothes, cloaks, to the cries acknowledging him as king with the expectation of action, Jesus rides in on a donkey. And Matthew tells us that by doing so, he's fulfilling a prophecy. One found in the book of Zechariah, our Old Testament reading this morning. Zechariah shows that God's king would come to Jerusalem, and he would come to Jerusalem on a donkey, and he would come in peace, bringing salvation, ending war, reigning not only over Israel, but reigning over the whole earth. And listen again to verse 10 from our Old Testament reading. Zechariah writes, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth." And Matthew says Zechariah was talking about Jesus, pointing to Jesus, that his word is fulfilled in Jesus, that God planned for Jesus to enter Jerusalem this way. Yes, he is the son of David. Yes, he is the Messiah. Yes, he is the king. Notice, Jesus doesn't silence the crowds. He doesn't say, no, don't say that. He doesn't correct them. Jesus accepts the title. He hears the request for salvation. He hears the cries of Hosanna. However, in riding the donkey, Jesus shows that he is a different kind of king. Jesus is not the king that they expected. He is not the king that they envisioned. He's not the king that they desired. But he is the king that they needed. The king that we need. He did not bring the salvation that they expected. He didn't bring the salvation that they envisioned, the salvation that they desired, but he brought the salvation that they needed. The salvation that we need. As the Messiah, as the Christ, as the King, Jesus did come to Jerusalem to do battle. He did come to Jerusalem to save. He did come to Jerusalem to conquer enemies, but it wasn't what the crowd thought. He didn't come to battle Rome. He didn't come to save from Rome. He didn't come to conquer Rome or any other earthly enemy. He came to battle far greater enemies. Powers that were far greater than Rome. In fact, enemies and powers that nobody's ever conquered, nobody has ever overcome, nobody. Enemies and powers that keep every single person, including you and including me. People from every nation, race, class, age, and keeping us in bondage, in chains. From the highest to the lowest, from the mightiest to the least. And these powers that Jesus came to battle are sin and death and the devil. Sin and death and the devil. Sin as in the power that leads to sin. As in disobedience, as not living as God designed, as God desires. Death, as in the power over life, as the power that ages life, as the power that ends life, as the power that takes life. The devil, as in Satan, as in the adversary, as in the evil one who is opposed to God. Jesus came to battle these powers, and he battled not through military might, not through armies, not through weapons of war, no. The one who came on a donkey battled through suffering, through experiencing injustice, through being arrested and mocked and beaten and falsely accused and unjustly tried and sentenced to death. Death upon a cross. And by this he conquered. By his death, he conquered. And the reason that he suffered and the reason that he experienced injustice and the reason he died was out of love. Love for God's people, love for you. So that you might be saved from those enemies, so that you might be saved from those powers, so that you might have forgiveness, so that you might have life, so that you might be free, truly free. So that you might know God. For Jesus is God. And he comes to you riding on a donkey, humble. He comes to you desiring to be king over your life, Lord over your life, king in your heart. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the city quaked and they asked, "Who is this? Who is this?" Now, how do you answer the question? Who is this? Who is Jesus? It may be the most important question that you ever answer. Is this God made man? Is he Savior? Is he king? Has he gifted you salvation? Has he gifted you deliverance? Has he gifted you freedom? If the answer is yes, and I pray that the answer is yes. If the answer is yes, then the next question is, what kind of king is he over your life? And here's what I mean. How many times in your life have you desired God to act in a particular way? To do something in your life or in the events surrounding your life? And you knew exactly what God should do and how he should do it. You needed saving from a situation. Your marriage was a mess. You didn't know what to do with your child. You or someone you loved were experiencing a health crisis. You were struggling to make it every day. You were overwhelmed. You were sinking. You were drowning. You didn't know where to turn. You were in pain. Or you needed an enemy conquered. Whatever that enemy was, whether you needed an enemy conquered, whether that enemy was addiction or depression or loneliness or anxiety or illness. And you knew God could act. God could deliver. God could conquer the situation. And you hoped and you prayed and you expected him to do it. You cried out, Hosanna! Save now. You were looking for a conquering king on a horse of war. But Jesus comes riding on a donkey. And he may not save you the way you want. He may not save you in the way that you expect. He may not conquer your enemies in the way you want or in the way that you expect. But he will accomplish what you need. What you need. And know this, the one who comes riding on a donkey is the one who has conquered sin and death and the devil for you. He has given you forgiveness, and he has given you life, and he has given you victory. He has all authority in heaven and on earth, and nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The situation you need saving from cannot separate you from the love of Christ. The enemy that you need saving from cannot separate you from Jesus Christ. He may not save you in the way you want. He may not conquer in the way you desire. He may not overcome in the way that you expect, but he will be with you through it to the end. He promises to. The one who comes on a donkey comes to save. He comes to conquer in the way that you need. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus who has come to save. We thank you that he has come humbly, riding on a donkey. We thank you that he has conquered through suffering and death and love, that he has overcome by this. We thank you that through him you have given us salvation. You have given us deliverance. You have given us life and freedom for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.